This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Today on iRadio's Group Chat, I'm joined by counsellor and psychotherapist Chloe Callanan from RUL Therapy, whose honest TikToks about moving home after living in Australia have struck a nerve with young people across the country. Chloe has been very open about the emotional reality of returning home, from going back to living with your family to the frustration of feeling like you're doing everything right, but also feeling locked out of independence. Her experience has sparked huge conversations around immigration, housing, shame, and whether Ireland's actually set up for single young adults to build a life. Chloe, thank you for joining me this evening on the show. First of all, you've been very open about what it's been like to move back home. Can you describe what that transition has been like emotionally, especially going from a life full of independence, I can imagine, in Australia to moving back and living with family?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's definitely been layered. Australia gave me such a sense of independence and a lot of character building, you know, being on the other side of the world from everything you've ever known, really. So like, that instills a bit of grit within you. So you have to put yourself out there and line up work and make friends and find accommodation and all of that. And I think those traits will always stay with you. They don't just vanish when you come home. But at the same time, moving back in with family is an adjustment. You're shifting from total autonomy into shared space again, but I don't see it as going backwards. I think it's more about integration, and that's the tone I always kind of take when I talk about this topic. I felt very grateful, you know, for the support of my family while still holding on to the independence I built while in Australia. And like, those two things can be true at once. You can be deeply appreciative of home and still miss the version of yourself that lived abroad. But also, that doesn't mean when you come home that you want to go right back, you know, to the exact same life you lived previously before you went. Like, we all grow and we evolve and we wish for progress. So I think emotionally, it's definitely probably been the aspect of it that's weighed the most on me. But I have to say, sharing my story and relating to people online has definitely helped that.
So many people have interacted with your story that you're doing online about it, kind of following your journey, because it's so relatable. It's something that happens to a lot of people whenever they move anywhere away from home. And if they do come back home, then there is a bit of a struggle with the transition. But when it comes to life in Australia versus life here, what differences stood out to you the most once you came back?
Honestly, look, being in Australia actually deepened my appreciation for Ireland. It made me realise just how much we take for granted from being here. You know, the landscape, the coastline, the natural beauty that we have. And I'd be the first to admit, you know, I probably haven't seen a fraction of it. But being away made me want to explore Ireland that bit more, in the same way I was so eager to explore when I was abroad. But the biggest contrast for me was the cost of living. And I can only speak from my own experience, but financially, my money went further in Australia. So let's take renting, for example. Like, I wasn't living lavishly now by any means, but renting felt more manageable. It felt more accessible, you know, whether that's sharing with just one other person or even renting as a couple. I feel like in Ireland, and I have, you know, rented previously in Ireland, and it often feels like you need more people in a house share to just make rent workable. And that difference really, really stood out. And I think it's something that a lot of young people notice when they come home from the likes of Australia. That accessibility just makes a big difference to how people imagine their future, and it changes how realistic things like saving or settling down may feel. But you know, it's not about one country being better than the other or anything like that. For me, it was definitely how accessible everyday life feels at, you know, this stage of my life.
I know you've spoken as well about the realities of not being able to get a mortgage at the minute on your own. Like, what does that reality feel like when you've been doing probably everything right, if you like, on paper?
Honestly, look, it's heartbreaking. I mean, there's no dancing around that. It's frustrating in a way that I don't think I fully understood until this point now, where I'm in the thick of it, really. I definitely didn't take an easy route by any means. Like, I studied, I worked, I built experience while I was working. I had a, you know, the blessing of COVID in a way. I could work full time while I was in college and doing college online. And I built a business for myself after that, once I finished my master's. So I have taken the risks and put in the effort to set myself up. And yet, when you start looking at mortgage applications, all of that doesn't always translate into the support I need, or, you know, people like me may need. You know, in Ireland, like, first-time buyers are typically only allowed to borrow up to four times of their income. So that rule applies whether you're single or in a couple. So without that second income, that limit means the amount you can borrow is often much lower. So you can see the impact that may have. And like that, I'm self-employed as well, so that adds a whole other layer to it. There's a lot more complexity to it there. But, you know, even when you think you're doing everything right, it can still feel like the system isn't designed for the likes of me who are solo earners or maybe self-employed and people, you know, carving their own path or whatever the case may be. You know, it's such a deeply personal thing, but it's not just frustrating. It's disheartening, but it isn't a reflection of our own efforts. Do you know what I mean? It is down to a system that currently just maybe isn't working at optimal levels.
I know that you got comments as well on that video you posted about that, saying like, oh, you just need to get a better job and things like that. Do you think that there's a general misunderstanding around how difficult it actually is in the housing market if you are buying on your own in Ireland at the minute?
I think there's a lot of noise in that space. I think there's a lot of information there, maybe very little clarity. I don't know if I'd describe it as a misunderstanding as such, but I think when we have the housing conversation, are we talking about it through the lens of, you know, buying as a couple or buying as a family unit? And that leaves out the reality for a lot of single people. And I even hate saying the word single people, because single people doesn't mean, you know, you're not working or you don't have ambitions or stability. It just means you're relying on one income. So lenders in Ireland still base your borrowing capacity largely off salary multiples. So without that second income, the amount you can borrow is significantly lower. So that's a structural reality, not a personal failing by any means. But maybe the misunderstanding comes when people equate, you know, housing struggles with individual choices. So like that, those comments of, you know, my job choices or my personal effort or anything like that, instead of the economic system itself. We also have rising rents and everyday costs eating into people's ability to save. So it compounds the issue. But yes, I do think there is definitely a gap between how difficult it really is, especially for single people. And I will advocate for single people. But maybe it's how often it's discussed, and recognizing that doesn't diminish the effort. Maybe it just paints a more accurate picture of the challenges facing young adults in Ireland today.
Does it ever feel like young adults are being blamed for the systematic issues that are out of our control? I mean, I know people have told you, oh, maybe you should have stayed in Australia and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does. It does feel that way sometimes. And I think a lot of the commentary I've seen assumes that young people have full control over these situations, and that if you're struggling to buy a home or pay rent or live independently, that it's somehow your own fault and it's a personal issue. But the reality is that so many of these challenges are structural, but so many of us are experiencing them. And, you know, telling someone they should just stay abroad or go back to Australia ignores the fact that, you know, moving back home or trying to build a life back home in Ireland, which I think everyone should have the opportunity to do. We should all be able to come home at the end of the day. It's often more than just finances. It's about, you know, family and community and mental health and long-term life plans. Like, I would love to be able to have kids someday and have them, you know, rear them close to my own family instead of the other side of the world. And that's just my choice. But young people aren't, you know, we're treated like we're failing sometimes, but we're just trying to navigate a system that hasn't really been designed to support us in the best way possible. So I think if anything, at the end of this, I would love to be able to shift the conversation from blaming individuals to maybe understanding the systematic pressures that are at play.
What do you think needs to be done to help out with those systematic pressures that are at play at the minute?
I think definitely a conversation. I think we all need to, you know, maybe get together and understand everyone's perspective and everyone's, you know, unique situation that we're in. I don't think this just applies to anyone that's, you know, moving home from Australia or Canada or wherever the case may be. I did mention a little bit earlier, I think there's a lot of conversation. You know, it's not like this is a brand new idea that's being talked about. There's a lot of conversation and there is a lot of noise in that space, which is brilliant. But now that I'm in it myself, I find very little clarity, and I find I have to rely on so many different, you know, avenues and you know, people to tell me different things and different avenues that could be possible to first-time buyers and all these things. So I think there's no shortage of information, but I think there's a lack of clarity. And I think it would be great, and I think a lot of young people would agree with me as well, if, you know, maybe it was something that was taught in schools, or maybe it was something that was just a bit more accessible to help us get an understanding of the steps we need to take to maybe set ourselves up as best as possible.
For anyone watching your TikTok series and who might be thinking of emigrating themselves, but they might be feeling a bit guilty or a bit conflicted by the whole thing, what would you say to them at this moment in time, now that you've kind of been there and done that and bought the t-shirt?
Yeah, definitely been there and done that. Firstly, look, I would never, ever, ever tell anyone not to go. Like, whether it's Australia or Canada or anywhere else in the world that, you know, you feel a pull towards, going abroad can be one of the most transformative experiences of your life. You know, I was blessed to meet incredible people and learn so much about yourself and the world and a new way of living. And I mean, the version of me that got on the plane to go to Australia is definitely not the same person that came back, and that growth and that life lesson is priceless. But at the same time, I understand the guilt and the conflict, and you might worry about leaving family or friends or that familiar comfort behind. And that's natural. That's so normal. If I could tell someone in that, in, you know, my position, God, a year ago or even more than that, I would definitely say it's okay to choose yourself and your own growth and your own path and what works for you. You know, just because you want to experience a life abroad doesn't mean you're abandoning home or anything like that. There's no perfect path. I think there's no two people that go to Australia that have the same experience. You know, everyone comes home with their own individual tale to tell. But my advice would be to follow the pull, like take the leap if it feels right, and try not to let guilt dictate a decision that would, you know, it could open so many doors and it could change your life for the better. So whatever happens, you can carry that growth and perspective back with you, or use it to build a lifestyle elsewhere. Whatever way it is, it's entirely up to yourself, but it is it's a gift to yourself in a way.
Now that you're back, do you have any plans to start building the life in Ireland that you want to have, or are you thinking about heading elsewhere along the line now and see what happens?
That's the $1 million question, isn't it? You know, a crystal ball would be great in these times if anyone has the loan of one. But no, look, honestly, I love Ireland, the people, the culture. You know, my family are here, and that's why I've chosen to move back, and I don't think that will ever change. If we talk about the reality, building a life here as a single income earner, you know, the rising cost of living, the day-to-day expenses, the systematic pressures we spoke about, it definitely does weigh on my decision. It's a hard choice to make. I can absolutely see my future in Ireland, absolutely. But realistically, I think the path to establishing that future is a little bit rocky at the minute. And I think it would take a bit of a systemic shift in housing and costs and opportunities to make it fully feasible for the likes of myself to put down roots comfortably. But I think Ireland will always be home for me.
Where can people follow along with what you get up with next on your social media and find out where you end up, or where you, if you, whether or not you end up staying in Ireland?
Yeah, well, you can follow me along on Instagram and TikTok at RUL_therapy. I would love to have you there and share your experience as well, if anyone listening can relate to my story. But yeah, I'd love to have you over there.
Well, Chloe, thank you for joining us on iRadio's group chat. I know we'll be chatting to you again about something else, but in the meantime, I wish you all the best settling back into your life here in Ireland.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it, we're